You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome in. We've reached middle of the week, and it's been quite a week. We don't expect any of that to change. Thanks for being a part of our program. Let's get right to some of the headlines, and they are familiar sounding. Alabama out front with 8 first-team selections from the coaches. This is that time of the year. Got Jaden, Schrader, Judkins, neighbors. You expected all these guys on there. You got Latham from Alabama, Georgia with some key players. 3 Missouri players. Have not seen that in a number of years. Defense, yep. You got some Bama players. Don't have that many Georgia players, though. Maybe there's a message there. Our buddy Terrion Arnold made it. We talked to him 2 days ago. Meanwhile, in Vegas, this is not staying there, though. Charlie Baker will be leaving at some point. What kind of reception is he getting as he proposes major face-saving changes? How about Ross Dellinger, Greg Sankey? Not happy. It was not sent to the commissioners. We were all a little bit late relative to the rest of the world. That's not a friendly response. Everybody is moving on. Not everybody, but a lot of players are. And some good ones, too. McCord, biggest name in the portal so far. So let's find out more about it. Andy Staples joins us from On3, the host of The Andy Staples Show. What do you expect the show to be called? Andy Staples, the host of The Andy Staples Show. I've read that correctly twice now. Good afternoon.
It's easily Googled, Paul. It's all search engine optimization. I can't even say the phrase, but that's what it is.
What's it like for a guy that I knew as a young, struggling reporter now to be the host of a show with his name on the marquee lights?
You see, I there was this guy who used to work in Alabama, and he would write these columns, like 800 words of pure molten lava. Fire this coach right now. Auburn must fire the coach. And I was like, man, that guy's got a pretty good gig. And then he went on the radio, and then he got a TV show, and now he's a multi-gazillionaire. So I'm trying to follow in that guy's footsteps.
We're talking about John Talty, I guess.
That's exactly right.
What I would have given this week to be a columnist. I mean, I don't know where I would have began for that matter. So we'll get to that controversy in a second. That's in your state. But let's talk about the NCAA. And I don't want to be too hard on Charlie Baker. He's better than the last guy, but pretty much anyone would be better than the last guy. So are we grading him on a curve, or is he doing good work?
Hey, listen, this is the first time this might be the first time in my entire career that I have praised someone from the NCAA for what they're doing. So and I know people are mad. I know the Greg Sankeys of the world are mad. I know the ADs are mad because he didn't run by them first. You know why he didn't run this by them? Because anybody who's paid attention to college sports for any length of time knows when you have an idea and then you send it to the masses and say, hey, can you give me some notes on this? It gets pretty mucked up. So what he came up with was an idea that is radically different than anything we've seen before, and suggests to me that Charlie Baker, who, former Massachusetts governor, who was hired to basically lobby Congress to save the people running college athletics from themselves, has realized there is no congressional bill coming, rescue's not coming, you have to figure it out yourself. And so I'm going to throw out something completely opposite what we've seen before, and the public's going to love it, The schools are going to hate it, but I'm going to be the good guy because the public's going to love it.
Yeah, so, okay, not to be a reader of tea leaves, but you have to be sometimes. And I want to start with Sankey's response. He could have responded in any number of ways. He couldn't avoid it because he was out there in the middle of all this speaking today. So he knew he would be up there. He's had 24 hours. What do you read into the most powerful man in the industry's response?
It tracks with everybody else in the industry's response. They were pretty blindsided by this. And yeah, I'm not sure exactly why. I just theorized why. But yeah, I think when you look at, especially the way Greg Sankey's handled this, he's been pretty adamant that he wants to fight for a congressional law or, you know, some sort of bill that would fix this. That's not going to happen, but he's been fighting for that. So this looks like a complete capitulation, which is probably what they should be doing. Because if you look at what he's saying, it's floors, not ceilings. You know, typically in NCAA rules says you can't do any more than this, no more than this. This says it starts here and then it goes, and you can go as much as you want, which is, it's a very open market kind of thing. You look at it and it looks like something designed to keep you from getting dragged into federal court with an antitrust case.
Okay, let's get to stuff we all understand. College football.
Football.
What happened Sunday? It's calmed down a little bit, but there's still multiple threats. And he put into perspective where we are 3 days after the committee finally did something controversial.
They didn't have a choice. They were going to make somebody really mad. They were either going to make the Florida State people mad. The way the system was designed. I remember that first year of the 14 playoff when it became clear that either the Big Ten and Ohio State or the Big 12 and TCU / Baylor were going to get left out. And you talk to people around the sport and they're like, oh yeah, somebody's actually going to get screwed in this. And yeah, it's amazing that it took this long to have an undefeated Power 5 champ just left out. But it did. Now, my whole thing is, the system gave the committee no choice. They were going to have to make a decision that was going to piss somebody off. There was a choice. Remember, you mentioned Greg Sankey earlier. He was one of the four people who designed the 12-team playoff. Had it been approved earlier, there'd be a 12-team playoff this year. Let us not forget who blocked the 12-team playoff. That would be the Alliance, the Big Ten, which was trying to get its TV deal done without a competing product. Also got fooled by the Big Ten because the Pac-12 and the ACC were not acting in their own best interests. Both of them should have known that having guaranteed access to the playoff would be helpful to them. And the sooner they could get it, the more helpful it would be. So for the Pac-12, well, they got torn apart and now they don't exist. The ACC, they wound up getting screwed this year. Could have had 12-team playoff, could have avoided this entirely. Instead, got tricked by the Big Ten.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, everybody has come up with their favorite conspiracy theory, and one of them had to do with ESPN and the SEC, but what they don't understand, and I'll be happy to explain to them, is that ACC is completely aligned with ESPN until, as of this football season, ESPN
was 2036.
Wasn't. Yeah. ESPN still had a CBS package on the board. That goes off the table now with the conclusion of the SEC game the other day. But I'm all for your favorite conspiracy theory, but I don't really understand where most people are coming from right now.
Well, if y'all wanted to screw somebody at ESPN, Paul, y'all would want to screw the Big Ten because you don't have any rights with them anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, that would make the most sense. So if it were a true ESPN conspiracy, you would screw the Big Ten and put Florida State at number one and leave Michigan out.
Yeah, the ACC network, which is right down the dial on some satellite and cable outlets, it has the same operating agreement with ESPN Disney as the SEC network.
Yeah, I don't think it was a conspiracy by ESPN. I think the committee, left with a horrible choice that they shouldn't have had to make, said, what game do we want to see? I've had this theory.
Yeah, Andy is down there in Florida. I just wonder if there's a little Tallahassee voodoo going on. But anyway, I appreciate Andy. We really did enjoy it, but that's the problem. I was doing a hit a couple weeks ago for ESPN from an airport, and the exact same thing happens. I don't exactly know what why it is, and I don't. Is it Wi-Fi, Randy?
I guess.
Okay. Andy, are you unfrozen now?
I don't think the government of the state of Florida did this. I know the politicians are still mad about the decision, but I don't think there was any conspiracy there either. What I was saying is the way they should pick number four is you kidnap the coach of number one, you put a bag over his head, you bring him to a hotel suite, inject him with truth serum, you say, okay, who do you most want to play of these teams? And so in this case, who do you most want to?
Yeah, it's not only who you most want to play, but it's who you least want to play. I used to always write an article back in the day when so-and-so was hired at Alabama or Auburn or somewhere else. I would say, does that guy, like the Auburn coach, does that keep the Alabama coach up late at night? Or is he out celebrating right now that Bill Curry or Mike Price or Mike Dubose or Mike Shula? And ultimately, I think Andy's point there is the best. Michigan did not want to see Alabama. They were hoping for Florida State. We are going to share with you who the unfrozen guests will be the rest of the day. Dellinger will join us from the convention. And Chase Goodbread, a very Christmas-sounding name, will join us later on.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. As we roll on, much happening on this afternoon. Let's get some phone calls in here. And we begin with Payne. Good afternoon.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey there.
It's going to be a long 3.5 weeks, you know, until Bama plays Michigan. But I just had a question. Has Daryl called in this week yet?
Daryl has not called in.
Well, y'all just bear with him. He's still at the veterinarian's office from Saturday night, emergency vet. Glad he's got a bunch of money saved up since he ain't going to the championship to pay those vet bills.
Well, thank you very much. Good to hear from you. Bill is in St. Louis. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you, first of all, to the people behind the scenes. Daniel, who helped me get on the show, I appreciate that, and they make your show even better. But I wanted to apologize for the buffoon that called in from St. Louis. And that's where I'm from. But he called in to complain about your coverage about Mizzou. And I got to tell you, you've given a lot of credit to Mizzou and Drinkwitz and the players there. And I can't thank you enough for that. So
thank you.
Apologize for that. And also, Paul, all this wondering and what if and wish we would have just enjoy the football games. Just enjoy them and have fun watching the bowl games and the playoffs and all that. But don't have any regrets. If you forgot to tell somebody that you loved them before you died that night. So just enjoy life and move on. And again, I appreciate your show so much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. How about Jonathan in Tennessee? Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Hey, I
got a question for you.
Shoot.
Can you name me four teams that right now be favored over Georgia?
I can't name you one.
Because I believe that if you can't kick Michigan out, because clearly they can't kick Michigan out, I don't think Texas deserves to be in there, because their four-point loss to Oklahoma, to me, is worse than Georgia's three-point loss to Alabama. Am I wrong here?
You're not, but they do have a conference championship, which Georgia does not, and that's a big deal with this committee.
With Oklahoma State, are you kidding me? Oklahoma State got blown out of home by South Alabama. You got crushed.
I'm aware of that.
UCF. Oh, I don't understand how they can move up, you know, four places after being the number one team. The Georgia moves down five. I really don't understand it, Paul. I really don't get it. I mean, realistically, the top four teams are Alabama, Georgia, Washington, Texas. I mean, that's it. Plain and simple. Michigan, with their sign stealing and who they played.
Hey, let me give you this scenario, Jonathan. Let's say Georgia had lost to Auburn and then come back and beaten Alabama. Where would we be today?
I think they would still be in there.
They would have gotten in is where I'm going, because they would have a conference championship. And if you follow the convoluted nature of college football, that matters to the committee. Let's check in with Bill next in Georgia. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul. In my lifetime, there have been co-champions 15 times. I think the committee was correct in not putting in Florida State. But if Florida State beats Georgia, who I consider to be the best team in the country, they'd be 14-0. If Alabama or Texas wins the playoff, they'd be 14-1. And I'm in Georgia, but I'm a big Texas fan. I went to undergraduate and law school there. I think if Texas wins it, they should get one share in.
I mean, you're correct about everything you said, except as you project forward, there's no they have one shot at claiming a national championship, and that would be in the AP poll.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's
That will get them a trophy, but they won't be recognized as national champion.
I'm not sure that's true. If somebody
I don't want to argue with a University of Texas attorney. But let me assure you, that is true. The college football playoff is the only entity that recognizes.
If State wins, I don't care.
Okay, well, listen. Sue me, okay? There have been multiple national champions. Tommy Tuberville in 2004 declared Auburn was the Golf Digest national champion. Look what it did for him. It just doesn't matter. I mean, I don't mean to be recalcitrant here, but Florida State can claim any national championship, just like UCF could claim any national championship it wanted, and it's still illegitimate. Terrell is up next in Georgia. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
I have four things I wanted to point out about the committee that they did this year that's unprecedented. They never have done it before in all the years they've been there. First, I'm an SEC fan and I'm a Georgia fan. But they took the number 8 team and put them into the top 4. There's one thing. They took number 7 team and put them in the top 3. And they took the number 1 team out. From number 1 all the way out of the top 4. They also left out an undefeated.
Okay, by the way, that's all that, we all know that. We were watching Sunday. What does it mean?
Yeah. Well, next question I have, they say, well, they had to do that because they're trying to get the four best teams out, you know, in. So I mean,
Terrell, can we all just agree that the committee is a charade and they can do whatever they want to do and there's no legal precedent to stop them just because they haven't done it for 9 years?
I understand that. That's true. But when they talk to analysts about, well, the committee did it right. They want the four best teams in. Then you ask that same analyst in 1 minute later, do you think Georgia's one of the four best teams? Yeah. Well, how can it be they did the right thing and they didn't do the right thing at the same time?
Well, first of all, what you're talking about here are opinions of supposedly learned people, but they're not legally binding opinions. They're just opinions about 13 people choosing four. For the life of me, don't understand why everyone seems to think there's some precedent or legal moral standard or controlling authority here. I mean, these are just people that do whatever they want because there's no accountability.
It's a flawed system.
Nobody, they're not responsible. We don't even know who they voted for.
Right. They won't. There's no transparency there. They can't
it is truly laughable that we all get upset about a group. It's like if you're in high school and you got blackballed trying to get into a fraternity. I mean, where do you go for relief?
I know.
You call your congressman?
Yeah, I guess some people do.
But I mean, my argument is, and we're now on Wednesday. What I'm really interested in, I don't know how you feel, right? I'm looking for something new that we haven't heard. Everybody watched it. Everybody's had an opinion on it. It is not changing unless Ron DeSantis can get an injunction. And if Ron DeSantis can get this stopped, I think it's tonight there's a debate in Tuscaloosa. Am I right? The Republicans are debating. I think that ought to be his one. Don't you think he ought to just say, listen, we're not going anywhere until we get this. We're in Tuscaloosa, and you people aren't going to the playoffs. I want to see the governor say that tonight. Don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I think he might lose Alabama, but he'd certainly win Florida.
That's right.
Governor, if you're watching, I just helped you get out of the single digits. Let's take a break. More to come right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. Great to have all of you here. Let's take some more phone calls. And Coach K, is that like JK?
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I am a longtime listener and a first-time caller. And I just wanted to congratulate JK on his nobility. Yeah, he's got nobility. He's got no ability to pick winners, that's for sure. Look, remind me not to go to the racetrack with him, okay?
Man, I don't. Not only the racetrack, I certainly don't want him advising me on mutual funds or cardiologists.
Well, and nothing about football, that's for sure. Hey, I wanted to ask you, what happened to Jim from Tuscaloosa?
Well, we missed Jim this week. Can you imagine Jim reacting to all this political correctness? Jim decided, got mad. I don't know whether he quit the show or just taking a hiatus. Here's what I think Jim does. I think Jim knows how good he is, and he wants us to realize it and then offer him a new deal. Because I would really like to hear Jim shutting down some of these callers this week. And I think it's killing Jim. And our people are currently in negotiation with his people, and it's going nowhere.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he's going to the LIV tour.
Hey, Paul, I was going to tell you about the first time that we met. It was about 21 or 22 years ago, and my children were at this place called Alabama Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was called Vision Land.
Yeah, Larry Langford's deal.
Yeah, yeah. They had these concerts, and one of the Disney kids or something was having a concert. You were standing there, and I went up and started talking to you, and I think Gene Hallman's kids were out there too.
Right.
And the three of us had a conversation for about 30 minutes. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Well, I vaguely do remember it because Gene's one of my close, if not, he probably is my closest friend in Birmingham. So we pretty much did everything together. I vaguely remember being out there. What did we talk about?
Just about everything. We're just talking about life in general and what it was like, you know, Birmingham. I'm talking about the 60s and the civil rights movement, that kind of stuff.
Coach, I don't know if I told you this. I was telling somebody not long ago. I got there in 1980. And when I used to walk down the streets, 20th Street, other places, it would make me angry to think what a small period of time had really passed since all the controversy and the strife. And it was remarkable to be there through the 80s and 90s and through even Larry's ascension to the mayor's office and getting to know Richard Arrington and other people about where that city came from. Obviously, you saw it as clearly and probably for longer than I did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw it up close and personal because I grew up here.
I bet you did.
But I've seen you several times since then, especially like at the SEC Nation events and stuff. I was down in Alabama. My son used to be a cheerleader at Alabama. So I've been to several of those parades and national championship things and everything. But I just wanted to call and let you know that, man. Thank y'all so much and have a great day.
Well, Coach, stop me. We'll be there soon. Stop me and love to continue the conversation from 21 years ago. You be well. Thanks so much. Let's continue. Derek is in Tallahassee. Hello, Derek.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to know your opinion on this whole playoff fiasco, and I just wanted to know whether or not you think that money played a role in this and that the possibility of college football's golden goose being omitted from the playoffs had no bearing on the discussion in that boardroom.
Derek, I don't believe money had anything to do with it, and I say that for a couple of reasons. You already have the contract done. The current CFP contract has one more year after next year, and then it's going to be renegotiated. So it's not like by putting Alabama in there versus Florida State, there'll be a higher rating for this game, but the contract's already done. This isn't like you're just starting from scratch. And I say this with all respect to Florida. Florida State is still a big name. It is not quite in Alabama's league, but it's not like we're talking about Cincinnati or TCU. Florida State is part of the national football conversation and has been for a long time.
Now, are you going to tell me that the members in the boardroom weren't obviously aware that this contract's going up next year and it's going to be renegotiated? ESPN, who is obviously the primary bidder for this thing,
isn't going to get as much money if Florida State's in the playoffs. I've seen estimates on the internet going as high as $150 million in lost revenue from viewership.
Well, Derek, I work at the company. I don't really understand where those numbers are coming from. I've seen them too.
I mean, I've seen a whole bunch.
No, but my question is, who's coming up with these numbers? There isn't.
Hold on,
because I don't really care what's on the internet. A lot of trash is on the internet that's not true.
Yeah.
Promise you, we know that.
But Paul, I mean, obviously, you have to understand as a man in the business that there would be a significant share of lost revenue from those commercials.
I do not understand that because I've yet to have anybody tell me how that's going to be when you already have the most when it comes to television. The biggest and most important aspect is the contract for the rights. The rights fees are already paid. So what we're talking about now is what will be sold. Most of the spots are already sold. You don't think for an event that gets between $18 and $25 million, you've already sold your inventory? There may be a little bit of inventory left, but not much. Besides, a lot of those commercials you'll see during the CFP are already in the bank. They're part of the ESPN college football playoff package. It does not really depend on who is in there. And I know everybody in Florida State thinks that's the case, but I'm...
I do have one more question
the
for
big,
you, though,
the biggest loss you is have, the biggest loss is what is it, Jamari? Six is. So what we're really talking about is about $6 million that the ACC would have gotten. I don't have that kind of money. Most of us don't. I'm just telling you, that's not a big deal for a multi-billion dollar a company that's worth. So infinitely into the tens of hundreds of billions of dollars. So,
okay, and then I do have one more question for you, Paul. What do you have to say about the Vegas lines moving 10 minutes before the release of the decisions on national television?
I have absolutely nothing to say about it because I don't know why that would be the case.
Well, the Vegas lines shifted significantly 10 minutes before
the Vegas lines. First of all, the Vegas lines shifted into what? What are we talking about here?
Well, Florida State was in 85% implied.
Well, Derek, I wish. Okay, well, I wish you had called me at 1 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, because I was 99.9% convinced Alabama was getting in.
Well, Paul, it's convenient giving you the voice of the SEC.
Well, no, I'm not the voice of anything. I was using something I learned in a sophomore philosophy class in elementary logic. I was in Atlanta. I watched the game. I got home late at night. I caught the end of the other game, watching it coming back, and I used deductive reasoning. The FSU Louisville game sucked. It was unwatchable. The committee was watching at the same time I was, except they were all together. I was at the Alabama game. It was compelling. It was high caliber. And I just concluded that committee would come to the same conclusion that I came to, that there's no way on the face of the earth that you could put Florida State in over Alabama. I wish I bet I could have made enough money to retire with Randy and the entire crew here. We could have bought our own island in the Bahamas, but I didn't. It was common sense, and I don't know why anyone in Tallahassee didn't come to the same conclusion after watching FSU Saturday night. We will come right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we have a couple of announcements to make, courtesy of the Southeastern Conference office. Jaden, Offensive Player of the Year. How about Turner? Caleb Downs, what an amazing year. Reichert, Special Teams Player. Brady Cook, Scholar Athlete. Van Pran, the blocking. And guess who won Coach of the Year? Coach Drink. Okay, this was on earlier today on First Take. Mad Dog talking about how mad he is about all the criticism of the committee.
I should be on the committee. I should be Boomer, whatever his name is. What's the guy's name who's head of the committee? Boo something. I
Boo
should be
there. Corrigan. Boo Corrigan.
That's it. Boo Corrigan. I should be running that darn thing because I know more about the me and Feinbaum. I know more about the sport than they do, as I proved on Labor Day, on before Labor Day.
Okay, I mentioned this the other day, and I think, Audie, you know, we have this unusual relationship with our number one caller, but I see his name on the board, so I will defer to him. Jim.
Well, Merry Christmas, Paul.
Merry Christmas, Jim, and I'm glad to hear from you. We need you this week.
Well, I enjoyed Coach K's call, and that's why I'm calling, because, you know, Danny Sheridan, our both mutual friend, said, Jim, don't worry about anything except getting them getting your name right. Well, he got my name right, and I love it. And I thank you, Coach K, for mentioning me. I don't get many honorable mentions anymore. But, Paul, I'll tell you what. By the grace of God, I'm not calling about all these guys you talked about. Oh, yeah, I could say some stuff, and I might be out of line, probably would be way out of line with you-know-who up in heaven, and that's why I'm trying to stay clean. But anyway, I enjoyed – you got some goofy callers, Paul. I mean, you do need help with callers. You need a caller school or something. I'm tired. I could have done that. I used to do that. But these people, most of them are just total goobers. Don't know what they – and they all want – you know what? I'm going to tell you this. They want Saban to retire, and he's not going to. They want him – because they can't beat him, and you know that. So everybody brings up, oh, he's going to retire. He ain't retiring. He knows Coach Bryant croaked 1 month after – quit coaching, and he loves coaching, and he's not retiring. That's all I got, Paul.
I hear you, Jim. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay. By the way, Joe Tessitore, our friend who we talk to all the time during the season, was booked many months ago, 6 months ago, to be the keynote speaker last night. Guess where he was? The Tallahassee Quarterback Club Awards Banquet. So, and Joe did the FSU game on Saturday night, and apparently there's a tape out there Pat Smith told me today that he saw some video of it, and Joe was asked a lot of pointed questions about what he had to say, about what I've said, other people have said, and you know what, I'm in a benevolent mood here. I have. I don't think I've ever been to the Tallahassee. The Tallahassee Quarterback Club. I don't think I've ever been. I've been to a lot of quarterback clubs. I am going to offer myself up as their spring speaker. You know, usually most clubs have events in the springtime, and I do one or two of them because I enjoy getting out and meeting people. But I think it would be. I will do it, free of charge. I'll donate the money. Well, I don't mind being paid, but I will donate the money to the Ron DeSantis fund to sue the CFP. But do you think that would you go down there with me for security? I mean, I don't want to bring but I think it would be, I'm offering myself, and I don't think they'll accept me, do you? But I'd like to, you know, give them 6 months to calm down, and we'll take the show down there. How about that?
Sure.
We'll do the show some Monday afternoon in April. May, whenever they have it, and then I'll do the event, and we'll have an intelligent discussion about 6 months later about how foolish they looked. I'll take Legend and K-Dub as my body man, but I'm not afraid. You're saying I should be? I hope they invite me. Ed is up next in Chicago.
Hey, Paul. Hey, pleasure meeting you by phone, man. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, our daughter is a freshman in Tuscaloosa this year. Lucky her. We got down there to see our first game this year, too. First SEC game. So I've been watching a lot of you, watching a lot of the network. Ironically, I grew up as a Notre Dame fan because my grandmother was cousins with Jim Crowley of the Four Horsemen fame.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we didn't have a choice in the house. You know, you rooted for Notre Dame or you found somewhere else to live. But why I'm calling is, being a Notre Dame fan, I remember 1993 like it was yesterday. And I can't get over it. That's why I had a call and talk to someone about this. But it's just so incredibly ironic that this is the 30-year anniversary of Florida State being ranked after completing the regular season. The AP poll had them number one in front of two undefeated conference champions.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe that? I mean, doesn't that sound familiar? That was Nebraska and West Virginia. And all these Florida State fans that are complaining, Derek, for a good example, just going crazy. You're a saint, Paul, though, to listen to some of these guys.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.